Petrangelo shoots, save, rebound, score! Nicholas Waugh ties it! Rebound goal for Nick Waugh.
Live from the Findlay Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com.
A steal for Kolesar, charging out. Kolesar, the righty, shoots and scores! Kolesar on the breakaway.
This is the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, your home for access with the team, exclusive player interviews, and breaking news from around the National Hockey League. Here are your hosts, Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Welcome in, Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show, Fox Sports Las Vegas. Ryan Wallace, Darren Millard, Jared Justice hanging out inside the Findlay Chevrolet, Fox Sports Las Vegas Studios, Findlay Chevrolet on the 215. Home of the...
Woo!
Wow, you sound like me 3 weeks ago. A little scratchy. A little unpredictable with that woo. Well done. I haven't seen in person Jared in a while. How are you, pal?
I'm alive. I wouldn't recommend it.
Yeah, I know. There's ebbs and flows to life, just like the National Hockey League season. And as we...
How are you doing? Your voice... Oof.
Really, you don't like the sound of it now? Because this is way
better
than what it was.
This is better now.
Yeah, this is better than what it was.
I have other things I have to deal with in my job, and so like, damn.
Yeah, I know.
Millard,
we're making some progress slowly and surely. We're trying to pace it a little.
Millsy's out here just doing his best.
We're selling out. You know, I will say this: the next week is going to be like it's crucial in the playoff race. Mm-hmm. But on a personal note, it's going to be interesting to see how this goes down. We got 4 games in 6 days on the television side, and with a little radio with us mixed in. We won't be on Monday and Tuesday because of the early starts. But it'll be the ultimate challenge whether this thing's going to hold up or not, or whether I'm going to need some extra special wives' tales of treatment for this thing.
Are you
okay?
I
think I've gone down every path possible over the 5 weeks that I've had this laryngitis or the after effects of it. But when we talk about where Vegas is, the feeling, the tenseness, the uptightness of the fans doesn't really measure what the team's been able to do in the last week and a half. Like they're 4-6 with wins to games over the last week and a half. When you look at it as a whole and then the performances by the team, I really feel they've turned a corner, and they've done it through structure and defensive performance.
Yeah, last night on the postgame show, my main stance was the Golden Knights have found their foundation again, right?
Yeah.
The foundation of this team is based on strong, structured defensive play, not giving up a lot of really good opportunities, getting the saves they need over the course of a game, and finding enough offense to win. And you look at that over the last really 3, 4, 5 games, it's been there for the Golden Knights. So I'm with you. I think that they have turned a corner. I think that you're starting to get more predictable types of performances, at least defensively. And if that's what you're starting to see now for the Golden Knights, it's a really good indication of what's to come the final 13 games of the year.
You go back the last 5 games, 6 games, Detroit. Mm-hmm. I thought they were really good against Detroit. I'll give them 3 good periods against Detroit. Seattle was 2 out of 3. Third period was a goat rodeo for both teams with lead changes, and they would both like to be a little more in control on that. Calgary was right in the middle. The third period collapsed, but it was Aiden Hill for the first 2 periods. And then Jersey, Tampa, and Seattle, you've had 9 out of 9, a really good period there. So over the last 15 periods, you could say they've had 11, from a team perspective, mm-hmm. 11 really good ones. Would you like the goaltending to be tightened up here? Would you like to be the power play be more effective over there? There's areas of the game within the game that they have to be better, but I'm glad that you're seeing the game the same way as me, because the results and the performance seems to be on top of where the overall evaluation or perception is of this team. And maybe that's going to catch up. Maybe it's going to take one big blowout game, because even with the good performances that they produced, it's been right up against it to pull out the wins. If they are able to put one away nicely in the next couple, maybe that sways things. But I've been encouraged by what they've been able to do, and last night was another good example of that.
Yeah, it really was. Last night was a really connected game for the Golden Knights defensively. You know, you look at it, the last three games, just in and of themselves, 21 shots or less for the opponents in three straight games for the Golden Knights. That is indicative of a team that's taken care of their own zone first. Two of those games are without Alex Pietrangelo, so that kind of highlights it even more that you're getting a full team effort to kind of shut those things down. But, you know, again, I think that you're probably onto something in that fan perspective will probably shift in the right direction if the Golden Knights are able to go out there and win a game 4-5-1, right? Like a less tight type of performance, or just a performance in which it's not coming down to needing a goal with a minute and 20 seconds left to secure a victory in a game that you largely outplayed the Seattle Kraken like last night.
Yeah, that was interesting, wasn't it? Because they had opportunities in the first two periods to widen the advantage.
Yeah.
And you just, because things have been so challenging from the injury front and then the performance front and then holding leads front and then the third period situation, you almost had this feeling of dread when it comes to the third period, and you're only able to score a goal. And when it does get tied, you're like, got to find a way to get a point out of this, where you didn't against Tampa Bay and where you didn't against the Calgary Flames when you had the lead. You got to do that. And then it switched, but it was still tense. I mean, the way they score the goal with a 1:20 to go, but then you have to wait for the review.
Yeah.
And then you have to survive the chance at the end by Seattle. And it ends up being a comfortable-looking win when you evaluate multi-goals gap and then the shots against. And it's where the box score never does a game justice, where you have to watch the game or watch more than the highlights. It felt harder than it should have been, but it's also building some confidence. And I like that part as much as anything. Coming back and reestablishing some third period confidence in being able to win the game instead of letting it happen to slip through your fingers like it did against Tampa Bay. So baby steps. It's four wins in the last six. You've got Columbus in town. Vegas owes the Blue Jackets big time.
Yep,
they may owe themselves more than owe the Blue Jackets.
It's a better way to look at it.
For what happened back in Ohio, you do that, and all of a sudden you got 5 out of 7, and you got some momentum going out on this critical road trip. But the building blocks are there, right? And we're seeing that Jack scoring. You've got production all through the lineup. You just don't have that just overall explosion. And I wonder, is it better the way that they've won these four games recently by way of having to claw and scratch than have somebody to go off and win it easily? Are they putting more in the bank the way they're doing it? You guys know me. I want the easiest way out.
Absolutely.
Every day.
Yep.
The easiest path. But from a process point of view, is it better what they're doing right now and going at it with this team defending type approach?
I would argue yes, because you're playing the right way and you're earning the victories the right way.
Should come, right?
Yeah, it would be great if, you know, Jack Eichel could go out there and put up 4 points every single night and you can kind of cover up some deficiencies in order to pick up wins. Or it would be great if you had a performance from Logan Thompson or Aiden Hill where they absolutely go out there and make 50 saves and steal you a victory. But the fact of the matter is, when you're playing these types of games and now you're starting to get the results, you're doing it the right way. The process has to be there. As much as we talk about needing the results, that's absolutely true. points are the most important thing right now. But given that the end goal doesn't stop at making the playoffs, the process has to be dialed in too. And that's why I'm encouraged by how they're winning, not just that they're winning.
I like the fact that from a player point of view or a player experience, what you're going through in these last four games, you look at last night against Seattle, against Tampa Bay, and I'm talking about the Skaters. You go back to the Detroit game. New Jersey was really a game. The players come to the facility and they practice, but before they work out or they skate, there's a team video session or a team meeting with the respective head coach or sometimes Bruce himself. And a lot of the feedback that they're getting from the Jersey game and the Tampa Bay game, where they did so many things right, Seattle, the Detroit game a week and a half ago, a lot of that feedback and footage that they're looking at are good examples. It's not this is where you went wrong, we have to do a better job here. There's still some of that. Every game, it's a game of imperfection, that Bruce likes to say. But the amount of good examples and reinforcement from that video, from coaches to players, has turned dramatically from 3 weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah,
that's got to help you, right? From just being more positive, feeling better about yourself.
Well, yeah, I mean, you want to watch what you're doing well, right? Like, you want to see clips of playing the right way. And you know, you want that positivity. You want that reinforcement. And, you know, I think for the Golden Knights, now that they're starting to get it, it's kind of a positive feedback loop, right? Like, you start to see the things happening. You start to see the fruits of your labor, the fact that you are going out, that you're playing well. Now you're starting to get the results. But the more you can kind of lean into that positivity, the more that you can find that level of finding your game, I think the better off you're going to be. So the fact that you now have a lot of positive reinforcement on video, that's huge.
What do you attribute last night's win to, or last night's performance to, or what stood out to you in that victory over Seattle? Because there was a couple of things that reminded me of last spring, and a couple other things that are evolving and really developing right before our eyes.
Yeah, I thought, number one, the fact that there were maybe two odd man rushes for Seattle, that really stood out to me. Because, you know, Seattle's a team that will try to get in transition. They'll try to look for, you know, those easy two-on-ones or three-on-twos, whatever it might be, breakaways behind the defense. And the Golden Knights, to me, shut things down through the neutral zone really well. There were opportunities where Seattle got through the neutral zone, but they'd never had numbers. I love the fact that the Golden Knights were able to kind of hunt down those pucks, those second opportunities. There weren't a ton of rebounds, but when they were there, they found them. Case in point, that mad scramble right before the empty net goal, where Noah Hanifin has the puck in the crease and skates it away from trouble. And I thought the physicality, like the Golden Knights were hitting, they were checking really well. They were checking all night long. I liked that aspect of their game. There was a little bit of bite, a little bit of nastiness, and that's good.
Yeah, it's fit the VGK identity the last little bit, and that carried over to last night. Jack Eichel, when he scores, and the team's record when he does find the net,
mm-hmm.
is becoming a legitimate, really funky story, and almost legendary status on what's happening there. Love that Marchessault took the puck to the net there, trying to almost bank it in, mm-hmm. and it ends up. But goals right within or in and around the crease continued to be a hallmark of this resurgence with the team. The power play was better last night.
Yeah.
More chances. Definitely the message of getting shots through and not being too fancy was received, because Joey Decord at times was under siege on the power play. I thought it was as good as from power play to power play to power play as we've seen in a long time from an overall single night performance. The fourth line whatever integration that that it is because we've seen some changes. Will Carrier is up. We've seen Nick Waugh move back to the fourth line. That's sort of paralleled this surge that we've seen from the Vegas Golden Knights is that unit and the energy they're bringing. And how about minute 20 to go in a critical game?
Mm-hmm.
You've got your fourth line out there and not just defending, trying to get it to overtime, but they've been good all night in creating chances, and they end up scoring the winning goal. Was it by a hair?
Yes.
With the video review where it comes down to a frame flip and you never see the skater in before the puck. It comes down to a bit of good fortune because I don't really know whether that light was onside or offside, but there was no evidence that it was offside, so which was great, and it was allowed to stand. And the fact that the collision in around the net was not challenged, which was great because you never know how that's going to be interpreted. Mm-hmm. So there's another break. They got the benefit of the doubt on the offside. Seattle challenged the offside, so they weren't allowed to challenge goalie interference. So that goes. It was also scored with a minute 20 to go. If it's under a minute to go, NHL Situation Room takes control, and they can look at as many things as they want. Mm-hmm. And that puts you – so I thought just from the hockey gods – you love my hockey gods – the hockey gods' point of view, we got some love last night.
Yeah, the point I want to touch on – not so much the hockey gods, but certainly the fact that you had Bruce Cassidy go to his fourth line, as you mentioned, in a 1-1 game late in the third period, a minute and a half left. You trust your guys, right? And Brett Howden was phenomenal all night long. Again, Nick Waugh, phenomenal all night long. Again, Keegan Kolesar has been great over really the last four or five games, handful of games, whatever it might be. That identity and that line can set the table for the Golden Knights often inside of games, and they can also come up with big goals at key moments, and they certainly did last night.
And so many great looks for Keegan Kolesar.
Yeah.
And he's just right place, right time, able to shovel that puck into the back of the net. And that's huge for him. He's become a bit of a spokesperson for this team.
Mm-hmm.
Like whether it's before a game, practice, but his thoughtfulness and his outlook on the games is has really grabbed me this year, and his ability to keep things into perspective.
It's kind of a leadership aspect of Keegan Kolesar and what he brings to the table, right? Like there's the way that he breaks the game down, the way that he sees the game, he thinks the game, and those are great insights to have. But you know, there's an ownership, I think, there for Keegan in kind of his ability and desire to talk, to kind of explain what is going on, and when things aren't going well, what can they do better? I've been impressed with him all year long. It's little plays that he makes night in and night out that don't get a lot of recognition, but you need them in order to win. And it's good to see him the last couple of games get rewarded with the points.
You mentioned Noah Hanifin skating that puck out of danger with 15 seconds to go. And it's just like, it's not going to be easy right now. Like they have a lead after two periods, ends up being tied in the third. They score the go-ahead goal late, and it's reviewed with a lengthy look by the officials. They get the benefit of that. It goes the right direction, and they still suffer a breathtaking opportunity by the opposition in the Kraken with 15 seconds to go. Like it's just they're almost like the cardiac kids right now. But it's put away. Have you seen a top shelf empty netter from neutral ice before? That was interesting last night. I thought it might go over the net for a bit.
Yeah, there was a minute where I didn't think it was actually going to hit the net. But
yeah,
that was impressive.
Going far down from center ice.
yeah, exactly. No, it was impressive. It was a good play from Stevenson, right? Like, you got to find a way to ice the game in that spot, and he didn't have a lot of time, but he was able to get that one right where it needed to be. And you're right. There was a moment there where I thought it was going to go over the net and you were going to have one of those last ditch efforts from Seattle coming back the other way. But it didn't work. It didn't work out that way. He hit the back of the net. It's beautiful.
Logan deserves a stick tap. I thought four forward lines were great. I thought the D pairs were good. Seattle took control of the game in the third period after mm-hmm. they tied it, and they were able to withstand that. Here's the play of the night, and I don't know whether you noticed it, but it was one of the few odd man rushes that that Vegas Ooh. Gave up, but it was okay. in the second period.
Yeah,
and Alec Martinez was the defenseman on the back end that was defending the play. And if you don't love Alec Martinez after this play, then you've got some issues with connecting with the hockey players mm-hmm. For valuing what they do. There's different ways to play a two-on-one. You want to block the pass going across. You want to try and force the shot as much as you can, but you don't want to allow it going back and then forth again. That upsets the goaltender. You can sometimes lie down. You can go out down on one knee. You want to shade over. You don't there's different aspects. Alec Martinez went. I think he went to go down on one knee, mm-hmm. But then realized that the play was going a little wider. He ends up on his belly facing the Seattle Kraken player with the puck, mm-hmm. his arms out wide, so he's blocking all opportunities to slide that puck over without a really good saucer pass,
yep.
with his face facing the puck. And he stopped it, mm-hmm. and he locked it up. It was the more inventive way to stop a two-on-one. I'm like, that's full sellout. And I love that play as a microcosm of the game.
Yeah, no, I clocked that play in real time. It was and mainly because I was focused in on Seattle and odd man rushes specifically. That's what I wanted to see in that game as to whether or not the Golden Knights would be able to cut down on them. They limited Seattle to maybe two, maybe, and that was the first one really of the game. And it was just an excellent play from Alec Martinez, who, you never give up on a play. You never quit on a play. He didn't quit on that one, and he ends up breaking up what would have been a cross-seam pass for a backdoor tap-in, and that's a huge play in the context of the game.
And another sign that the hockey gods are on board, because if it's not going your way, mm-hmm. that gets sauced over and ends up in the back of the net with a great one-time. Or it goes to get passed over, ends up in your face, and you're picking up chiclets, or you're sewing up your cheek, or your chin, or something. There's a bruise on your collarbone. Like, a lot of could go wrong in that, mm-hmm. and it didn't. So I'm really happy for Alec Martinez. Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, a little bit of league talk. John Shannon, our good friend, the former executive producer of Hockey Night in Canada, co-host of the Bob McCallum podcast, is going to join us. So when we continue on the VGK Insider Show on Fox Sports Las Vegas.
Hello, Canada and hockey fans in the United States and Newfoundland.
On the ice at Madison Square Garden, New York meets Montreal in the world's fastest game.
Officially on, a nice, gentle game full of battered shins, cracked skulls, broken arms, tangled legs, and nosedives.
He used to have the most important job in Canada. Now he's willing to give us a few minutes. It's time to chat with John Shannon.
I've got to be honest, it feels like those highlights that we just heard were probably current games the last time we talked with John Shannon. It's been a long time since we hooked up with our good friend. How are you, Shanny?
Election.
Yeah? You're awesome. Say that again, because you cut out a little bit.
I said, I hear Truman won the election. So, you know, it's a while ago, a long time ago.
A long time ago. What's been keeping you busy? What's been keeping you occupied with the National Hockey League?
Oh, hey, the playoff races. Are you kidding me? It's been fantastic. Unfortunately, you know, for Vegas fans, it's a little bit little too close for comfort. But, you know, what Detroit's been going through, what the Islanders are going through on the bottom end, and then watching that Central Division with Dallas and Colorado and Winnipeg and – and now all of a sudden the Nashville Predators have jumped out of nowhere and have 30, hard to imagine, 30 of a possible 32 points. And that's the second most successful streak we've seen this year in the National Hockey League.
Do you consider Nashville a contender?
I think you have to now. I really do. I mean, are they the best team in hockey right now? Right now, today? I mean, who did they meet last night?
Last night.
Florida.
Yes.
Florida. And everybody has talked about Florida being the consensus Stanley Cup finalist. Yes. They beat Florida. Nashville played Kevin Lankinen, their number two goalie. I don't want to say backup, but their number two goalie, and they beat them in Sunrise, Florida. It was pretty impressive.
Shut them out.
Shut them out.
And this is a team that a week before the trade deadline didn't know whether it was a seller or a buyer or somewhere in the middle.
Yeah, you know, and in talking to Barry Trotz today, he talked about he needed to hear that message from the players, from their leadership group, whether they were going to be buyers or sellers at the deadline. And with what they went through with their trip to the Sphere being stopped because they played so badly against Dallas one night, he said he got the message pretty clearly, and that's why he was able to go and make the deals he did and get a guy like Jason Zucker in the lineup and help score goals.
Hey, Nashville's got a history of putting up banners that maybe don't follow in the strictest tradition of the National Hockey League. If they ever won the whole thing, they'd have to put up a banner honoring the Sphere or U2.
U2.
Yeah, well, or you know, convince U2 and Bono to do a free concert
yes.
on Broadway or something.
Yes,
you know?
I take that. I got a buddy in Lower Broadway right now in Nashville, and he just said it's alive and it's well. Three of the four divisions are up for grabs too. Like it's not just 10 teams on each side still in contention for a playoff spot, but the number one seed beyond just the Central is available.
Well, are you suggesting that only Vancouver's home and free?
Yes, I would consider Vancouver home free.
I'll tell you what, they're 8 points ahead of Edmonton. Edmonton has three games in hand, and they still play head-to-head once. You know, the next time I'm on, which will probably be in about 8 weeks, you know, we may be talking about, you know, how the Oilers won the division. And I'm going to say, don't, you know, we warned you about this. I don't think the Pacific's set in any way. Somebody asked me this morning, is it a done deal that it's going to be Oilers versus L.A.? And I said, no way. You know, I think Vegas can probably turn things around well enough that they can end up, you know, being in that 2-3 position as well.
So when you view it from that perspective, it, in terms of the Pacific, you see more Vegas movement upward, or you know, you mentioned Edmonton catching Vancouver. I guess that's kind of the big one for me, because it's been such a runaway for Vancouver all season long. It seems unfathomable that the Oilers will be able to catch them at this point.
Yeah, but Ryan, you know, everybody at one point in this division has sputtered. Mm-hmm. The Oilers did it early. L.A.'s done it, cost their coach his job. Vancouver's gone through it, and now we're seeing, you know, in some form or manner, the Golden Knights go through it when they've only won four of their last ten. So from that perspective, I don't, you know, with the amount of games left, I think Edmonton has 15 and a team like Vegas has 12. Or 13, I guess. Nashville's got 12. You know, anything can happen down this stretch run. It really is crazy. And that's why we don't need more playoff teams, because here we are on the, you know, the third weekend in March, and we're in the playoffs now. This is playoff time. Mm-hmm. And these games mean a ton for everybody, and that's why it's kind of cool.
Vancouver is five games into a nine-game homestand right now. They play Calgary tomorrow, and then they get L.A., Dallas, and Anaheim before the schedule kind of turns with a little bit on the road. But they're making some hay.
Yeah, but at the same time, you know, they have been up and down since the All-Star break, just like everybody in the division has been up and down. And, you know, Thatcher Demko's out right now. They're now, actually at a point where they're resting some of their veteran defensemen to give them and prepare them for the playoffs. You know, Elias Pettersson, since signed that humongous deal, has not been what they thought he was going to be, so that's taken a bit of a curve. And I don't think that's going to be a problem for them. But it's one of those things in Vancouver where just when you think you're over the hump again, you get bitten. I mean, would it surprise me if Calgary went in there and won? No, it wouldn't. Would it surprise me if Dallas went in there and won? No, it wouldn't. Would it surprise you if Anaheim went in there and won? Yeah, it would. So,
in the Eastern Conference, can Washington or the Islanders get in and bump out Detroit?
No, not now. I don't think so. I think we have to be really. You know, it's funny. Somebody asked me about 10 days ago, if you were afraid to meet a team in the playoffs that was one of those wild card teams in the East, who would you be afraid to meet? And my answer was the Islanders. You know, because they're a good defensive team. They play good, what I would describe, playoff hockey, Darren. Their goaltending can be spectacular, particularly with Sorokin. But they got to get there, and they haven't got there, and I just don't think they're going to get there now. I mean, they're 5 points out. They do have a game in hand, but I just don't see it. The big problem there is, where's the goal scoring coming from? It just isn't. The goal scoring hasn't shown up since they went on that Western road trip.
But Washington's getting it now with Ovi and Cummings. Tom Wilson, by the way, suspended 6 games for the high stick, which is a massive
no surprise
suspension.
There, right?
No, but that 6 games is almost as much as you're going to get now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they have to be better at being more disciplined. Guys like Wilson, but it'll be fascinating to watch if they can keep doing what they're doing. And who would if I would have told you at the start of the season that Charlie Lindgren would be their number one goalie? I think you would have wondered what pharmaceutical I was on, but. That would be another story, and they've changed their whole style of play. You know, when Washington beat Vegas in the Stanley Cup final, it was run and gun with Ovi and the boys, and now they're a much more structured defensive team playing much better hockey that way, and it has proved to be pretty good. Oshie and Ovechkin and the other veterans have bought in.
Ryan, you'll learn this as you get older, but John and I are at an age right now where we do ask each other what pharmaceuticals we're on because it's important. Hey, what's working for you?
Oh, that's good stuff.
I'm on vitamin D, okay? That's it, vitamin D.
Look at you. That's amazing.
That's all I take.
It takes me half an hour to go through mine in the morning.
Let's take a look just real quick at the Metropolitan Division. It's a two-team race, the New York Rangers, the Carolina Hurricanes. Which team do you like more to kind of come out on top of the Metropolitan Division?
Until the deadline, I like the Rangers more. And since the deadline, which coincided with the return of Freddie Anderson, and you think Kuznetsov and Gensel are going to continue to contribute, I think you have to like Carolina more. Carolina is healthy right now. So are the Rangers, but I just like the difference that they were able to make at the deadline. Although I must tell you, Jake Gensel does not look good in red.
He doesn't fit, right?
I watched him last night, and I'm watching him tonight, and he looks a little dorky in that red. It just doesn't look right. There's something wrong with Jake Gensel wearing that helmet and that sweater, because lots of guys look good in that sweater. But he just doesn't look good in that one.
You know, Evgeny Kuznetsov has become like a star out of this deal. He's giving incredible interviews. He's fantastically honest, and he's embraced this entire change of scenery.
Well, it's easy to say, yes, you're right. We don't know really what he's gone through being in the assistance program. Mm-hmm. And this is where you have to give, the Carolina some credit for taking the chance, But you have to give the Washington Capitals some credit. You know, they were prepared to give him another chance somewhere else. Now, they were paying him a lot of money, and they probably wanted to get rid of the money at the same time. But to make sure that somebody gets a fresh start is something that doesn't necessarily always happen in sports. And so everybody, I think, felt in a position to help the player. And what Kuznetsov's done, you're right about his honest approach. He's been quite forthright about the struggles he's had and how he's living every day, game by game or day by day. That part is pretty impressive.
Lean on you guys. Is there a matchup, a potential matchup that could actually occur that you guys desperately want to see? Like Boston and Toronto is realistic. There's an outside shot at seeing Tampa Bay and Florida in the Eastern Conference. There's some intriguing ones.
I'll go first, Ryan. I would like to see Tampa and Florida play. I've been around the league since before Florida, the state of Florida had any teams, and then they had Florida first and then Tampa. And we've always yearned for that rivalry, not for the Tampa side, but for the Florida side, because we always thought that that would be the difference maker in establishing the franchise and creating some credibility in the franchise. And although Florida did do it last year, going to the final, I would say that if you can continue to work with that regional rivalry, then you're doing the best thing for both teams and creating it and having fun with it. And nurturing it, and that's what we need to do. I mean, let's face it. This is a league that works and has succeeded on regional rivalries more than anything else. You know, the Islanders, Rangers, Flames, Oilers, Montreal, Toronto, you know, Boston, Montreal. There are so many great rivalries. You know, in a time there was, you know, the Philly and Pittsburgh, and then Pittsburgh and Washington. Those are the great times of what this league has been all about. Makes you wonder if the schedule's built right way, Darren. Should we have more regional games? Who's Vegas's biggest rival right now?
It's Edmonton.
Edmonton right now, yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, playoff, right? It all revolves around playoffs.
Yeah, but it's usually the loser that thinks it's a rivalry.
Yeah. Well,
and yet you guys think it's Edmonton. So let me put it this way. Would you rather see all the teams in the NHL come to T-Mobile, or would you rather see the Oilers come three times and so that they would play six games against each other every regular season?
Yeah, that's a good question.
I'm a journalist. I have good questions.
I know. You do, and you're brilliant at it. You make me think, but you don't want to miss out on a Bedard or a Ovechkin or a Crosby or.
If we guaranteed you a Bedard visit once every 2 years, is that enough?
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. Then we're going to be stuck with this type of schedule.
Yeah. Is there too many teams? Well, I don't think so. Because we got 31 here. So this is growing the game with 31 expansion. But I've heard that said, they can't expand to 33, 34, 35, or else you're going to continue to run into that without unless you go to 84 games. Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Cut it off.
I don't know. I'm worried the schedule's too long now. You know, I get a little tired of watching hockey every once in a while. Not all the time, every once in a while, just because the season starts, you know, the first or second week of October, and now it goes almost like I think the final will end the 21st or 22nd of June this year.
Yeah.
Boy, that's a long season. You know, I remember we used to marvel. So the first Stanley Cup I ever produced, I think we finished. May the 16th.
And the ice was melting then. It was natural ice, right?
Yeah, that's right. It was outdoor. It was an outdoor game, you know. But, you know, but it's just, it, we're, we've we pushed the closing of the season so much longer.
Yeah.
That you do wonder if you get there's a little duress of watching too much hockey and being in the game too long.
At the risk of making my boss upset with me, I'm going to bring this topic up. George McPhee was honored this week by the NHL general managers at the GM meetings. Yeah. And George didn't tell anybody about this, that it was happening. And I found out through you, in fact. And it was a great tribute to a longtime soldier with the National Hockey League.
Let me give you a little background. So in my time at the National Hockey League,
yes,
I was lucky enough to participate on these Monday dinners at the general managers meetings, and they pay tribute to a former general manager for their contributions to the game. And I could tell you, and it's a small party. It's about I was going to say 80. People in the room, and it's quite formal. It's a beautiful dinner and speeches and some semblance of an award. And the managers get very emotional, and not only the manager speaking, but the managers who were there at the tables get very emotional because they don't get much time to reflect on their own careers. And so every year I always ask, so who are you paying tribute to? And since I'm not at the manager's meetings, I can't tweet out about the rule changes, and I can't tweet out about video review anymore. And so it's the one tweet I do every year about the manager's meeting, and that was, this year they're honoring George McPhee. And I have a soft spot for George myself, mm-hmm. so I thought it was really kind of cool. And then when I talked to people that were in the event, they said it was tremendously emotional, that George spoke beautifully, the Brian Burke's family, who was very close to George's family, they spoke and gave a great tribute to George, who assisted the Burke family through some troubled times when Brian lost his son to a car accident. So it's one of the human sides of sports we don't see very much for guys that we expect to have, you know, just good old-fashioned quotes about the salary cap and trades. We don't get to see the personal side of managers. I'm not sure they want us to see the personal side of managers at all, but it was great to see a guy like George get such a tribute from his peers, and that, to me, is the most important thing.
Yeah, I got a chance to see the video that the league did, and it was marvelous. Do you want to say anything?
Well, no. I want to say hello to a couple people tonight.
Okay,
I'm going to say hello to George, as I always do. Hello, George. But it's been so long. I've been saving this one. I want to say hello to my new friend, Lil John, because after the Super Bowl and after everything that went on in Vegas. At a time, I saw Ashley Vice's interview with Lil John. And by the way, Darren, it's Lil John, not Little John, okay?
Lil John.
Lil John. After something happened in Vegas, they did, it was the Super Bowl and the halftime show that he was involved in. Ashley did a fantastic interview with Lil John in the stands at the Golden Knights game. And I was just floored by this guy. I was so impressed. So I have to say hello to my friend Lil John now too.
Awesome! So that was the Monday after the Super Bowl. Alex Petrangelo's 1,000th game, and Lil John was
Lil
awesome.
John. Yeah,
did I say that right?
So hello, George, and hello, Lil John.
LJ.
That's LeBron James.
Oh, good. Yeah, I can't say it right though. I got to shorten it. You know,
my friend. You don't have to shorten it. Just Lil John.
Lil John's good enough.
Little John. He's a big fan, big supporter of the Vegas Golden Knights. One of the great Golden Age spots where he's buddies with Nabber doing the pregame speech. Great to be back with you. You're doing awesome. Glad to hear. And keep up the good work in the Bob McCown podcast, pal.
It's always great to talk to my friends. And I can hardly wait till your voice comes back.
I know. I feel good. And people that I haven't talked to in a while go, ooh. I'm like, no, this is progress. You have no idea.
Well, as Foster Hewitt used to tell me, tea and honey, big boy, tea and honey.
I've got more honey going than a bumblebee right now.
All right, honey do list. See you later.
See you, buddy. Bye. There you go. We've got a word of the day, Ryan?
We do have a word of the day. It is Elvis. Text Elvis to 702-876-1340, and you can enter into the Hit the Jackpot on Fox Sports Las Vegas contest and win
$2,024. $2,024. You got the Hockey Parlay contest coming up. Three games, you pick it, you'll win. Mm-hmm. That's a big-time opportunity for some little cash to come your way. Ryan, I got to go take care of this voice that apparently isn't up to Jared Justice's standards. I'd love to stick around, but Jared's benched me. Can you believe that?
15 seconds. Love to talk to you, sir.
He's mean that way. He's got this standard of excellence that I'm not able to measure up to. More with Ryan coming up on Fox Sports Las Vegas. Be good.
Attempt blocked by McNabb to the right circle. A try. Kick save Hill. Rebound. Another try. Save Hill. A third try. Save. And the rebound to the right corner.
Nobody is ever satisfied with one. So we're back for a second hour of the Vegas Golden Knights Insider Show.
Bob boots it ahead. Sticks it left. Barbashev in. Back to the right. A shot. Score. Marchessault. 19 seconds in.
From the Finley Chevrolet Fox Sports Las Vegas studio and live at lvsportsnetwork.com, here is Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
Hour number two of the VGK Insider Show rolling along here on a Friday. And the VGK Insider Show is brought to you by the Dollar Loan Center, where your first loan is on us. Apply for free at don'tbebroke.com to get up to $5,000. Got a lot to get to here in hour number two. Thanks to John Shannon for joining us just a little while ago. Darren Millard soldiering on with his voice. Listen, Jared, I know that you haven't heard Darren in a while. That's better.
I saw him on TV and I was like, he sounds okay. I heard his voice was bad. Yeah. He sounds good. He sounds bad.
He talks less on TV, so I think it holds up a little bit better over time. Now, that being said, we have a lot to get to. We've still got the Hockey Parlay contest. We're going to do that right now. It's the Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers.
I'm going to turn off my mic.
Hockey Parlay contest. You know the rules. We give you three games. You pick the winners. If you win, you win money. Pot is $200 right now, 702-876-1340. That's the number. We're going to do caller number five. Caller number five, 702-876-1340. It's the Michael E. Minden Diamond Jewelers Hockey Parlay Contest. We've got some good games this week. And even though Chapman's not here, and even though Darren Millard is not on the show in hour number two, both of those guys submitted games. They both submitted games, so we're going to get to that in just a minute. We've also got one-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Jared Justice is going to pick my brain there. And we're going to talk a little bit about the proposed series between the National Hockey League and Amazon to follow around 10 to 12 hockey superstars. And who you want to hear? Who you want to see? Which types of players are you looking at? And then, if we have time, we're going to dig into life advice with Ryan the Hockey Guy. Who do we have?
We have Jose.
Jose, how you doing,
Hello.
Buddy? How you doing?
Doing well.
So you know the rules, right? The Michael E. Minden Hockey Parlay Contest. We give you three games. You give us three winners, and you can win $200. So this game comes courtesy of Chris Chapman, not here on the program, but this is what he's throwing your way. The St. Louis Blues at the Minnesota Wild tomorrow.
Oh, boy. know Minnesota's trending a little bit. Mm-hmm. I'm going to go with Minnesota.
All right. Wild tomorrow.
Okay, so you've got Minnesota over St. Louis. This game comes courtesy of me. I'm sorry. The Edmonton Oilers at the Toronto Maple Leafs tomorrow.
Oh, that's a little easier. I'm going to go with the Oilers.
You're going Edmonton. All right. I like it. Edmonton on the road in Toronto.
I don't like either team, but I'm going to go with McDavid and Draisaitl.
All right, good stuff. And then, Jose, the final game of the week, it comes courtesy of Darren Millard, Millsy, as he's affectionately known here.
That's what we call him.
The Tampa Bay Lightning at the Los Angeles Kings.
Oh, Tampa Bay.
Tampa Bay nice. On the road. Okay, so you have Minnesota at home over St. Louis. You've got Edmonton on the road over Toronto. And you've got Tampa on the road over Los Angeles. Do you want to make any changes?
No changes.
All right.
Great stuff, Jose. Thanks so much.
The Kings, I don't know. Like, the Kings have been playing good. I just watched that game the other day.
Yeah.
Kopitar had a great the captain. He had a great game.
Yeah. You locking him in?
Come on, man. This is your last chance.
No. I'm going to keep what I have.
Okay, great stuff, Jose. Thanks so much.
Thank
good luck
you.
To you, and enjoy watching the games.
All right. Thank you, guys.
That's the Mike Leminden Diamond Jewelers Hockey Parlay Contest. Find Mike Leminden Diamond Jewelers inside the Fashion Show Mall. I like it. I don't have any major issues with Jose's choices.
Wild, Orioles, Lightning, those are all good teams.
Yeah. Chapman's game. St. Louis, Minnesota.
Yeah, what is that?
What do you mean, what is that? It's the two teams chasing the Vegas Golden Knights, playing one another. All you're rooting for in that game is for it to
I don't want to watch that game.
Yeah, no, nobody does. That's 100% fair. That there's no one that's tuning in, like, unless you've got money on the line. You're not watching St. Louis, Minnesota. You're just not.
That is the most affectionate way you could possibly put that.
Listen, I'm a realist, Jared. Okay, so we are by our lonesome now for the rest of the show.
It's just you and me.
I know. It's a weird thing.
I apologize.
No, it'll be fine. But who better to have this conversation with than you? Because admittedly, like, you know hockey players. We're not going to get deep into the X's and O's. Like, we can go on here and talk about the Golden Knights and the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow, but really, that's not going to interest you that much. Like, you're going to be interested in the game only so far as whether or not I tweet something ridiculous. But hey, we're going to get into hockey player personalities. In case you didn't notice earlier this week at the GM meetings, Chris Johnston reported that the National Hockey League and Amazon are working on a documentary type of series that's going to follow 10 to 12 National Hockey League superstars. Superstars were quoted word, okay? There's a lot of different ways to look at this. Obviously, it's been done in other sports.
Oh, yeah. All or Nothing, Amazon. The first couple seasons of All or Nothing from Amazon with the NFL was incredible.
Yeah. Now,
this could be huge.
Here's the interesting thing, because you bring up All or Nothing. They did that with Toronto a couple of years back.
But did it have the gravity?
It didn't have the gravity because it was positioned in a really different way. It was poised. Okay, so if you remember correctly, you go back to that. They did All or Nothing surrounding Toronto in that weird bubble year where everything was inside of the division. So it was a Toronto series based solely on the Canadian division. And naturally, they were one of the best teams in that division. You expected that they were going to run away with it. They play the Montreal Canadiens in the first round, and like Toronto is gonna Toronto. They have a 3-1 lead, and then they lose game 5, lose game 6, lose game 7. And it ends abruptly. And there's no like nuance. There's no diving deep into that afterward because it was set up as this is the year they're gonna get it all right. They've only got to go through Canada. That's it. And they couldn't do that.
We set it up for you.
Yes.
And you couldn't do it.
Exactly. So I'm hesitant here because I just don't know that the program's going to deliver the way that I want it to.
There is an element to everything Amazon does where you and don't get me wrong, like I love Prime. I enjoy watching The Boys and everything. But there is an element of who's in charge of creative control.
Right.
And hockey players right off the bat aren't the most extroverted people you're going to meet.
If you give hockey players creative control,
nothing is going to be said.
You're not going to have anything to watch.
Right.
Frankly, you're just not. And so
There's a reason Shorzy is so good. It's because you have a hockey player who's interesting.
Yes, 100%.
Like that's the whole premise.
Yeah, exactly. And so,
what if a hockey player was cool?
You have to cast this correctly, and I know it sounds ridiculous to say cast it, but you do. You can't just go with the obvious choices. Like, listen, I've been hard on Connor McDavid many times on this program. But if you're going to pick an Oiler to highlight here, the last guy in the world that I want to see a documentary series follow around is Connor McDavid. Give me Leon Draisaitl all day. It's not like he's got way more personality than Connor McDavid. I don't think that he does. He's just more pissy. And when he's more pissy, you're going to get more realism. And when you get more realism, you might actually get something interesting.
So the Guild of Jester on Twitter, you put this out on Twitter, and we got a lot of really good responses. We got over 10 responses, and a lot of people, a lot of back and forth. But Guild of Jester says the right thing. Marchio. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
because you know that guy at least is in the Instagram comments going, "I will fight you."
Yes,
I am 5'6" and I will bring you down.
Now, I'm with you there. There's another Golden Knight that I want to see on the show.
Ooh,
I'll get to that in just a minute. But Jonathan Marchessault would be fascinating, though. I will say, I don't know if you're ready for non-filter Jonathan Marchessault. I just don't know that the world's ready for it. Now, there's another Marshy that I'd be interested in.
Ooh.
It's Brad Marchand.
Ooh.
Of the Boston Bruins. And here's my argument for Brad Marchand. Okay,
he's
listen.
Psychotic.
Well, he's grown up.
Oh, yeah, no, you're right. You're right.
He's an adult now, Jared. Yes. Like, he doesn't lick people anymore.
Correct. He doesn't whip people.
Lick. No, not whip. Lick. He doesn't lick people anymore. That's a thing.
I remember him
that's
behind taking him. A stick
yes,
to
yes.
some...
I want Brad Marchand on this for one reason and one reason only. He must get chirped incessantly on the ice. He must. Like, you're talking about a guy, right, in Brad Marchand, who broke into the league. He was an agitator. He was a pest, affectionately known as a rat on ice. Like, listen, he was that guy. He made everybody around him angry. He played on the line, oftentimes over it. I love Brad Marchand. The rest of the hockey world doesn't. His peers, not so much. I think the amount of creativity you'd get in terms of chirping would be amazing if you had cameras following Brad Marchand around. I'd love it. Not to say that I don't want to see Jonathan Marchessault, but it could be the Battle of the Marchies. You can set that up. One on the West Coast, one on the East Coast. Who's the best Marchie?
And then the voiceover guy goes... On the other West Coast, the other March, like, you know, like on the other coast,
so
the other Marchy.
So I meant
dealing with a battle of his own.
So I meant everyone hates him. So I mentioned another Golden Knight, William Karlsson.
Ooh, that's interesting. Now, I don't see that in any of our lists.
Now, hear me out on this one. William Karlsson's awesome, super interesting dude. Really, really funny. It's more understated than anything else, but the guy can be vicious when it comes to chirping. He just can. And you couple that with self-confidence, which he has in spades. You couple that with winning as he did last year. Like, could you imagine what it would have been like to have behind the scenes access to William Karlsson the day of the parade? It would have been amazing. It would have been absolutely amazing. He's got personality for days. And again, it's more understated, but you'll get gold if you've got William Karlsson on this program. He's the logical choice to me for the Vegas Golden Knights.
If you do a Golden Knights player, I see a lot of Hag, I see a lot of Marshy, and I see a lot of White Cloud, but Karlsson, I didn't even think of that, and that is a really good point.
Yeah, I'm going off board.
Well, no, but you're not going off board so much as you're thinking about it more than the initial question asks.
Mm-hmm.
The initial question is, who do you think is interesting? Who do you think would be the most introspective? Who do you think would be the most the guy who would have the most expressive ideas. Mm-hmm. Carlson is an excellent, excellent choice.
Yeah.
If there's a Golden Knight even involved, there's a, what did they say? How many people did they say that, like, 10 to?
So they said 10 to 12. Now, there's been some reports that it's going to be a larger field of players than what get featured on the show. So you might have 20, 25, 30 players being followed around. It just depends on whether or not there's anything interesting there.
Right. And that's always the problem, is that every once in a while, for every interesting thing you have in the quarterback documentary, you have Kirk Cousins also being there going, I like white bread. So
now, goalies are interesting because goalies are weird.
They're sociopaths. Yeah,
they're just
they're not. That was just
you choose.
Yeah, no, throw it at me.
You choose to take shots in the face.
Hurt me.
Yeah, 100%. So any goalie would really be funny. There's two I have in mind. The first one's in the National Hockey League. The second one's not in the National Hockey League.
Okay.
But he's close enough that I think you can, like, move the goalposts a little bit.
Ah, I see what you did.
Igor Shesterkin of the New York Rangers is an absolute character.
Yes.
He just is. Like, he's not afraid to dance. He's not afraid to, like, wear really interesting Halloween costumes and then awkwardly dance in those Halloween costumes. Big fan of Pulp Fiction.
He's just out here having a good time.
Yeah, he's his own guy. And I think that Shesterkin's personality would lend to some pretty funny moments. Plus, you'd have the cameras in the room with Shesterkin and Jonathan Quick. And Jonathan Quick is the antithesis of Igor Shesterkin. You got personality, and you've got...
Yep. We're here to do a job.
Just doing my thing. Just going out
I
there.
Show up, I have to guard this space to this space, and that's what I do.
Yep, 100%. Now,
versus,
there's,
I'm going to dance.
Yeah, and it would be really funny to see that dynamic at play. But really, if we're being honest with ourselves, if we're talking about goaltenders, it's Yaroslav Askarov. That's the guy. Milwaukee Admirals. He's in the American Hockey League of the Nashville Predators organization. He will be a Nashville Predator. He will be the biggest star when it comes to goaltending that this league has seen in a long time. He is technically sound Dominic Hasek. To another level. With more personality. Askarov, okay, this is my favorite thing that I've ever learned about a goaltender. Askarov, in a shootout in the American Hockey League, made a save to win the shootout. And he had allowed like one goal on 51 saves in the game, or on 51 shots in the game. He was brilliant, ridiculous. Now, to be fair, he didn't actually make the save. It was shot wide. Didn't matter to him. He laid down on the ice. He pulled the net down in front of him, and he did bench presses with the net. You mean to tell me that guy isn't going to light the world on fire if there's cameras around? Come on. Be amazing.
That's the definition of that one friend you have that you're like, oh, no, girls are around. He's going to act a fool.
Mm-hmm.
But also, girls are around, he's going to act a fool, so that means the girls are going to at least come talk to you.
Yeah, 100%. Now, I'm going to pivot off goalies.
Because I still got to get to the tweets, man.
Okay. I'll pivot off goalies. I'm going to give you one more. It's a tandem. It's the Tkachuk brothers.
So that came up multiple times on Twitter.
Yep.
Kindry had that on Twitter. Snigs had that on Twitter. Mm-hmm. The Tkachuk brothers came up a lot whenever you posed the question.
Yeah.
So that's, are they interesting?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, they're interesting on the ice. they're interesting off the ice, and they come from hockey royalty. So there's an offshoot chance that you get like Keith Tkachuk moments, and a lot of people still view Keith Tkachuk as the bruising St. Louis Blue, the brilliant player in his day. But then you've got his two kids that are better than him. And so that dynamic is amazing. And then you've got Brady, who will get into a fight anytime his team's not doing well. You have Matthew, who's just an absolute superstar. And he does that by being an absolute pest. So you know the chirping on the ice is going to be great. You know that there's going to be some funny family moments that, you know, could be endearing at times and maybe even a little bit honest. Like, I think Keith Tkachuk doesn't have much of a filter. He'll say what he wants to say. I think you bring that into the fold, it's going to be awesome. But the point that I wanted to make with the Tkachuk brothers is this. In much the same way we saw Jason Kelce supporting Travis Kelce, in much the same way you saw Jason do his thing and live his best life and all of that stuff in the Chiefs Super Bowl run, it would be the same thing for Brady. Brady will be the Jason Kelce of a playoff run for Matthew. Brady's nowhere close to the playoffs anytime soon. But last year, if you remember the Stanley Cup final, Matthew Tkachuk took a hit from Keegan Kolesar. It broke his sternum. Matthew Tkachuk then played in another game in the final and scored a goal. He needed his brother, Brady, to quite literally put his gear on him. Could you imagine?
Oh, that'd be so
a
good. Yeah.
Better highlight of what it means to play in the playoffs, what it means to play for the Stanley Cup, than that right there.
That is the type of TV that you go, well, that's some made up for TV bull bleep.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, no. Oh, his brother had to put, oh, yeah, no, that isn't real. No, we know it's real.
Yes, it happened.
We saw it literally happened.
Yeah. So I think they'd be fascinating. Matthew is a star in the making, and not a star in the way that like McDavid and McKinnon are. He is personality. He has it oozing out of him. He became the story of the playoffs last year. He could do it again. Double down on it.
All right, let me go real quick back to Twitter.
Yep.
We only have about 2 minutes left before we have to go to break, so I'm going to just go real quick. Cass on Twitter says, "Any players of color?" I think it's a different documentary, but I think it's an absolutely incredible documentary.
Yeah.
And I would be fascinated to watch it. She says Reeves, Duclair, Kadri, Robertson.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's absolutely
honestly, I love all of it. Like Jason Robertson would be fascinating. Anthony Duclair to me would be a star, an absolute star. The guy can motor. But I just think that you start to hear stories about Anthony Duclair and everything that he does inside of the community, everywhere that he's played, Florida specifically, you would see a player that brings a different level to anything that you do, especially now that he was traded to Tampa and he's got a legitimate chance to play in the playoffs and do some damage. I'd be all about that. That'd be amazing.
All right, Roger Wilco. Okay, Roger Wilco on Twitter says Nate Schmidt, which I think that's cheating.
Yeah, I mean Nate would be amazing.
Yeah, but he also is gonna be dancing for the camera, yeah. No matter what. Like that's his personality.
Is there any appetite for like Connor Bedard?
I saw Bedard. Let me see who said it. Gilda Jester. Gilda okay. Jester said Bedard. So, yeah, no, yep. And so did LVMom325.
Nice.
So Bedard came up a couple times.
Yeah, I'd be interested in Bedard. I'd probably be like more interested in not the number one overall pick. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because, no, that totally, that tracks.
Because I feel like with Bedard, it'd be the same thing as Crosby, the same thing as
Crosby came up quite a bit, and I just not to interrupt you,
yeah,
but
yeah.
Crosby came up quite a bit, and I was just like, I don't recall Crosby ever saying anything interesting in his entire life.
Okay, so
him and McDavid kind of have that same energy of like,
I'm going to say
this. Have you said anything?
I'm going to say this one time. Sidney Crosby has personality.
Oh, okay.
You don't get to see it often, and you usually have to be in the right place at the right time to see it, but I'd be all over Sidney Crosby. It'd be amazing. It'd be awesome because you'd get to see a different level to him for sure.
Do you think he would – do you think that he would showcase that personality?
At this stage of his career, I think so.
Okay. Because a lot of these dudes are so protected. Like, they're so self-protecting.
I think for Crosby, there was a lot of ownership of what he needed to be for the league. Like, and I know we're going to go along here, but here's the main point, right? Sidney Crosby came in as an 18-year-old. He was tasked with saving a franchise again.
And being
the face of the National Hockey League, the face of a rivalry with Alex Ovechkin, and all these expectations placed upon him. He did not want to do anything wrong. You didn't want to let anybody down. And I think now that he has been in the league for as long as he's been in the league for, that he's been as good as he's been his entire career, he's won everything there is to win. I think there's a maturity to Crosby that would allow you a little bit more of that personality, understanding that he's done his job carrying this league.
I am literally violating my own rules as a producer because we do need to go to break, but I wanted to make this, not analogy, but this comparison. It's sort of like finding out Bill Belichick likes the Jerky Boys. Like, you're like, wait, man, you've had a personality this whole time?
Yeah. No, it's there. 100%. It's that I've seen it. I have seen it. Right place, right time, phenomenal stuff. But it's not going to come out often. You just want to have the cameras there when it comes.
So he would have to be one of these 10 to 12.
I would do that in a heartbeat. Yeah. Well, there's no one else on the Penguins that I'd really be interested in, to be honest.
I mean, I've famously said I would sink the entire state of Pennsylvania into the ocean if I had the option.
Eric Carlson doesn't do it for me. Chris Letang, maybe. But it's Sidney Crosby, everybody. Okay, we're going to take a break. Come back with one-timers next on the VGK Insider Show.
Carlson left corner. Centered one-timer score!
It's time for one-timers.
One-timers.
A quick look at news and notes from around the National Hockey League. Brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injury. It's about the recovery.
One-timers, news and notes from around the National Hockey League, brought to you by Paul Padilaw. It's not about the injuries, about the recovery. Jared Justice is going to take the reins on this. I'm a little nervous. Not that nervous, but a little nervous. So, Jared Justice, take it away.
All right, so here's how I'm going to set this up. I'm going to give you headlines, the top headlines from ESPN's NHL section.
Yay.
But first, what I want to talk about is the fact that we switched from Tokyo Drift to Brian's Song so that we're just both depressed in the studio.
Yeah, that's a choice.
Yeah, we're just going to watch Billy Dee Williams slowly pass away. All right, let's start off with our first headline.
Is that how it ends?
Christ, I can't believe I said that. Wilson banned 6 games for high sticking, and the second headline is repeat offender Wilson set for in-person hearing.
Yeah, so the incident happened a couple of days ago.
Set the scene for me.
So Tom Wilson took his stick and slashed somebody's face.
Jesus.
Frankly. Yeah, Noah Gregor of the Toronto Maple Leafs. It was a game between Toronto and Washington. Wilson was pursuing a puck. He got frustrated with Gregor and takes a stick with one hand on his stick and just wallops Gregor in the face, right in the face. Not a hockey play. Now, Tom Wilson has a lengthy history in terms of NHL suspensions. He's been suspended prior to this one five times in his National Hockey League career. Total games served, suspension-wise, 29. largest suspension that he faced was 20,
like a quarter of a season.
Yeah, largest suspension that he faced was a 20 gamer a couple of years back for an illegal check to the head of Oscar Sundquist. 20 game suspension. Appeals it down to 14 games. But over the course of his five suspensions, totaled 29 games. The fact that this is his sixth suspension, first infraction since 2021, I was surprised that it was only six games. It was an in-person hearing, so it was six or more. I thought it was going to be 10 games. I thought we were going double digits again. When you suspend a guy for 20 games, and then the next suspension, seven games, and it just doesn't seem like the message is landing, to me, you've got to go back the other way. You've got to go up higher, especially given this time of year. To me, it should have been a 10-gamer.
So let me ask you this. At what point is it the team's responsibility, sort of for our more casual hockey fans, at what point do you get the Draymond Green where it's like the team, like, hey, you've got a recidivist on your hands. You guys need to figure this bleep out.
Well, if I'm Tom Wilson, I'd argue that I did, or I have, because I hadn't been suspended since 2021, right? You're talking about three seasons now in which, technically speaking, Tom Wilson has been a law-abiding citizen. Yeah. He's been a model citizen. He's had good behavior. The problem is, when you have done this repeatedly over the course of your career and you've been suspended five times already, it doesn't matter if you have eight seasons where you are a model citizen. The minute you snap, you lose the benefit of the doubt. And so I don't even think it's a team thing that they can do. I don't think it's a situation where you can try to reel this one back in. If Tom Wilson does something stupid, he's going to have the book thrown at him. And I'd even make the argument that six games is a light suspension given his history.
All right, let's go to the next one. Kuznetsov, yeah, I'm good at English, returns to Washington to face the Capitals. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, this is an interesting one. Obviously, Evgeny Kuznetsov is a name that a lot of people here in Vegas are not particularly fond of based on year number one, Stanley Cup final. He was phenomenal for the Washington Capitals in that run. He's a playmaking center. He found a home with Nicklas Backstrom, with Alexander Ovechkin, and played phenomenally for a long time with Washington. However, this year he entered into the player assistance program. The Capitals were pretty adamant in allowing Kuznetsov an opportunity to seek a new or fresh start. That happened by way of a trade to the Carolina Hurricanes, in which Evgeny Kuznetsov has been really solid for Carolina. Like, he's got 2 goals, 5 points in 8 games for the Hurricanes since the trade. He is a free spirit. He is a different kind of guy. He can be fun at times. Well, I mean, Evgeny Kuznetsov does the bird dance every time he scores a goal. Like, that's not something you see on a day-to-day when it comes to NHL hockey players.
I enjoy any time that you're like, I kind of like him. He's weird.
He's just a different dude. And so he's committed to this fresh start. It's been good for him. The Capitals get something out of it. That's good for them as they're clearly rebuilding. And I think that as long as, you know, the Capitals fans give Evgeny Kuznetsov a good welcome, then it's a great story.
All right. There's one that I wanted to read that we both knew you were going to pass on, but I'm going to skip it because we only have a couple minutes, so I want to get to this one. Mm-hmm. Bettman stays patient amid Arizona arena drama.
Yeah, okay, so the Arizona Coyotes are playing at Mullet Arena. Full stop, that's not acceptable. However, it has been acceptable
at
for
least
the National
it's
Hockey
filled?
League. Okay, you know, you make a really good point. At least the Arizona Coyotes are selling out games. It's a building that's smaller than the Dollar Loan Center, but hey, at least they're selling out games.
Let's not set the bar so low we trip over it.
Okay, here's the thing with Arizona. Bettman, Bill Daly, they were asked about, you know, whether or not it's a possibility for the Coyotes to move ahead of next season. They said probably not. However, they said that about the Winnipeg Jets. I mean, I'm sorry, the Atlanta Thrashers until they didn't. until they became the Winnipeg Jets. So is there an opportunity? Yes. There's a land auction that the Coyotes are involved in June, where they are trying to secure land to build a new arena. If that doesn't work, like if you cannot secure the land, I think it's done. You have to move them. It's just untenable. You cannot continue to have games at Mullet Arena. You just can't do it.
So what you're saying is hockey in the desert doesn't work.
Well, it depends on whether or not you're in the right desert market. And clearly, Vegas is the right desert market. You have an arena here. Makes sense. You have a great team. They just won the Stanley Cup. I made the argument a couple of days ago. I'm going to make the same one. If Arizona stays beyond this year, like if the NHL makes the decision and they're saying, you know what, we are committed to Arizona, the only thing that I want to see, the only thing that I want is for the Arizona Coyotes to get good. The only thing that I want is for the Coyotes to play playoff games at Mullet Arena and have the NHL panic to a point where they want to change venues in the playoffs for the team. Because my argument at that point would be, if it's good enough for 41 games in the regular season, it should be good enough for the Stanley Cup final. And if it's not, then it's not good enough for 41 games, and you've got to make a decision.
That is... I'm sorry. We don't have cameras in here, but if you were watching it somehow, I am pointing at Ryan going, yes! Yes! I obviously didn't say it because he was, you know, on a roll. All right, final question. Who looks good in what sweater and who looks dorky? And we need to go to break.
Yeah, the Jake Gensel doesn't look, it looks dorky in red. Listen, there are players.
That felt unnecessary. I love John Shannon, but that felt so unnecessary.
I will say this. There are certain players that just don't make sense in other jerseys. It's going to be weird when Tomáš Hertl throws on a gold jersey. It's going to be weird to see Hertl dress up as a Vegas Golden Knight. I was there.
It's going to take a minute.
I was there when he met with the media, and he was wearing a hoodie, and it was weird. It's going to be weird when he wears that jersey. It just is. Just like if Sidney Crosby was a Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Nope. You weirded me out again.
It would be weird. So when you see a player that is known for wearing one sweater and they change, it can become a little off-putting. But give it time. Jake Gensel, the red will look good on him. All right, those are your one-timers for today, Friday, March 22nd. Jared's dumb questions or Ryan, the hockey guy's life advice. That's next.
We're back to the Findlay Chevrolet Studio and the VGK Insider Show with Darren Millard and Ryan Wallace.
One of those names was right. We are back here with Ryan Wallace on the VGK Insider Show. This is Jared Justice. I am filling in for your favorite producer, Chris Chapman. And instead of keeping up with Chapman, we're going to play a little fun game that I like to call Life Advice with Ryan Wallace. Hmm. He'll fix your goats, and he'll fix your life. So we put it out on Twitter.
It's a lot of pressure.
As someone who's gone to you several times, like you have a functional like grasp on like what's going on in your life. I normally come to you and I'm like, "Hey Ryan, what am I doing wrong?" And then you just, you know, talk to me like the adult I should be. Huh. So we put that out on Twitter and we got several responses. We're going to start with one of mine, and then we're going to go to everyone else's. First of all, what should I be doing? Should I be – my dating profiles aren't working. Should I just like obviously going to a bar doesn't seem to be working. What should I be doing to find my life partner?
Ooh, that's a really good question. I think you've got to first find out what your what your values are. What do you value? That's the most important thing, right? Like when I met Mrs. Wallace, our values hit 10 out of 10 in every category. And so having a clear understanding of what your life's values are is paramount to finding somebody that is going to be your life partner. And then from there, think about what somebody that has those values would do. Would it be going to the library? Would it be different things like that? Those are the areas that I would kind of start to go toward. What would somebody that has my values do on a Saturday afternoon? And then go from there.
Y'all thought I was crazy when I pitched this segment, and he's really good at this. Jack Manning on Twitter goes, my toddler son won't eat anything but bread, fruit, and cheese.
Yeah.
Please advise.
So my initial reaction to this is very simple. Cover everything in cheese. Put it in bread and cover it in cheese. Make him a nice sandwich. Make a pizza, right? Like, you make a pizza, and all of a sudden, you're introducing some fruit to the mix. You can add certain things here and there. You can sneak in different aspects of different foods that might allow your toddler to branch out a little bit. So, cover it in cheese. If he likes cheese, cover everything in cheese. And then, like, dino nuggets for the win. All I'm saying is, my kids love dino nuggets. You're never too old for a nice dino nugget. Try that out for size and see what happens. Oh, and by the way, just pro tip, smoothies. Do not sleep on smoothies, because you can sneak a lot of really good things into a smoothie. You want a creamy, creamy smoothie? Throw an avocado in there. I know it sounds weird. You're going to get the nutrients of it, but it's not going to taste like avocado.
He's going to fix your goats and he's going to fix your life. Hey. Host and the producer of my favorite radio show like to take digs at cats
yep.
and cat people. How do I convince them that cats are in fact awesome and very chill? That is from Stephanie.
Okay. Cats are not chill. Cats want you to believe that they are chill, but they are not chill.
They don't
I understand the functionality of a cat.
They kill mice.
Yeah. To be fair, I have a cat. Like, it's not my favorite animal that I have on the farm, but we do have a cat. It's not that I dislike cats. It's that I dislike what – I don't like not knowing what the animal's thinking. I know what a dog is thinking all the time. There's only three things that a dog is ever thinking of. We all know what they are. I'm not going to spell it out for you. I never know what my cat's thinking, ever. It freaks me out. Now, listen – if you're a cat person, by all means, I'm not going to encroach on that. You do you. I have cats. I love the functionality of cats. They are a very good animal to have on a farm. Full stop. But I prefer dogs. I'm always going to prefer dogs. It's just the way that it is.
All right. We are coming up on 1 minute left in the show. And, yep, Billy D's still alive, so... that's good.
I can't believe you turned this on.
It was either this or Tokyo Drift.
That's fair.
Would you like me to ask you? We've got like 45 seconds. Do you want me to try to ask you one more?
Yeah, you can throw one more in. I'll be quick.
Why does Jared always sound so apologetic when you're not the right caller?
Oh, because Jared's a truly nice human being, and he really does want you to succeed and win. And when you don't, he feels like he personally told you that you lost.
We still have 30 seconds, but you're not wrong.
That's the truth. Like, what was I going to get on here? Lie? This is life advice with Ryan the Hockey Guy.
I really like this segment.
I do too.
We have like 10 seconds.
Makes me feel good. Vegas Golden Knights take on the Columbus Blue Jackets tomorrow, 7:30 puck drop. Pre-game show starts at 6:30. I will talk to you then. I hope I helped you. Life advice with Ryan.